Blog Talk Radio.
I want to bring to our attention achievement, publication that has been produced and is produced for our community, mainly for our community, but it will serve anybody who wants some help from the material that are put into this publication. And the book is called The Language of Revelation, Lugatutenzin, language of translation. And it is by a brother that I have known to be dedicated and devoted to the study of Quranic Arabic and the teaching of that subject to our students and to grown-ups as well. And that is Brother Sadiq Jahad. I think most of us know him here. Brother Sadiq Jahad, will you please stand and face the audience? So this is Brother Sadiq Jahad. So I highly recommend this book for you all who are studying, grown-ups, but also for our youngsters who are studying in the separate organized Quranic studies classes, and who are also studying in the school system, our school system, Claire Muhammad school system, Claire Muhammad schools, and like the one in Atlanta and Washington D.C., Chicago, and many places. I highly recommend this book, The Language of Revelation. It's Quranic, Arabic, with lessons, studies to improve your ability to read the Quran and get more understanding and to qualify yourself, inshallah, to be a teacher one day. Because out of you, from you who are interested in Quranic Arabic, we are going to get our next generation of teachers and imams and leaders, you know. So Allah be with you all and bless you to benefit from these wonderful projects and publications that our community is producing. This is one. We have others. We have others that I have seen, and grateful to Allah for students and scholars like our brother Sadiq Jahad. Congratulations, my brother.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jahad. You can secure the book by going to our website, www.sadiqjahad.com. That's SIDDEQ jihad.com. Or you can send a postal money order or any type of money order to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Redford, Michigan, 48240. My email address is Sadiq, that's SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And the phone number where we can be reached is 313-532-5246. I thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa alihi wa sabbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. We thank Allah for blessing us to have a successful Ramadan. Even if all of us didn't make the fast, it's a collective victory, for the Ummah. Praise be to Allah. We know that Allah says in the Quran more than once, wa la taziru wa ziratun wizra ukhra. That is, and no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. And this is very, very important for us to remember, because we say this but really sometimes we forget. And that is that so many times people want to be burdens on others. You find able-bodied men sometimes out on the street, and they're begging, and they could find some livelihood. But a lot of times the reason why that exists is because of the fact that they may have had a dysfunctional upbringing, or they may have inferiority complex or something like that. But we know that we have obligation as Muslims to help those who are unable to help themselves. But again, Allah says, no bearer of burdens can bear the burden of another. Praise be to Allah. So I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes about the Surah 100. Wal-adiyati dabbaha, translated, and by the steeds or the horses or the swift camels that run. How do they run? Dabbaha, with a panting breath. They run with a panting breath. Why do they do it? Because they are trying to gather as much oxygen into their system so they can run faster and as long as they possibly can. Praise be to Allah. So Allah is calling our attention to the reality that He has designed this horse with. Again, wal-adiyati dabbaha. Then the next ayah, fal-muriyati kaddaha. And they strike up sparks with their hoofs as they are running. And you know as well as I know that if you're talking about sparks of fire, if it's broad daylight, you may not see the sparks. But if it's a nighttime raid and a cavalcade of horses is coming at you, you can see the sparks from miles away. So Allah's given us a picture of a midnight or a nighttime approaching battle, okay? So Allah said, I swear by these horses that run with this panting breath. The Mugirati Subaha, and they push home the charge in the morning. So now it's daylight. They pushing home the charge in the morning. Fa'asarna bihi naqa'a, and they raise the dust in the clouds. So you know in a daytime situation, if you got a cavalcade of or cavalry coming, or let's say a dirt situation, you're going to see dust coming up in the air, alerting the enemy again that something and someone or a group of people are approaching. And then when they get to the foe, Allah reveals, فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا, and they penetrate forthwith in the midst of the foe. This is the horse doing the bidding, or the camel doing the bidding of the rider. And you know as well as I know, you have wicked people that ride horses, and you have good people that ride horses, right? So the horse is obedient to the master, the ones that have trained them, right? And here Allah changes the whole tenor of the surah by saying to us, Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Truly, the human being, mankind, al-insan, is ungrateful to his Lord. But not only does Allah reveal that the human beings have a tendency to be ungrateful, He puts it in a real strong grammatical structure. He says, lakanud. He put an L-A in front of kanu, which means ungrateful. Lakanud. He wants you and I to remember this. He wants you and I to remember the horse. When you see the horse, think of the obedience of the horse and transfer that obedience into you. Now here it is, Allah has made this horse to obey us, and He will run himself or herself to death for the rider. You see in the Kentucky Derby and all of that stuff that they have, the horse races and all of that, they will beat the horse and keep beating them and beating them, beckoning them on to go faster and faster and faster. And they say that a horse will run until his heart peters out in devotion to the master or the rider. Not necessarily his master all the time. So sometimes they have more people that they obey than just the one that trained them, you know. So Allah is calling our attention to see how I've given you this horse to be an obedient servant to you. You should transfer that same obedience that you see in that horse to me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during this month of Ramadan, many of us was able to be more obedient than we were the previous months. But now the test is for us to be as obedient or more obedient than what we were during the month of Ramadan. Those habits that we established during this month, we want to continue them on and get them even better and be even more conscious of Allah and what He has revealed to us as a blueprint for our human life. So if you see the flow, Allah is telling you about the properties and the nature of this horse, how He fights your battles in terms of being your servant to get you to where you're trying to go to get to your enemy. But one of the beautiful things about the Arabic language is that the verb structures are so beautifully structured that there's meanings that are carried in various verbs. And what I'm saying to you now is when Allah says, well, adiyati, the root of adiyati is adawun, which is enemy, an enemy. We say that shaitan is aduwun mubin, same root of adiyah, meaning that he is an open adversary, a clear adversary to what is right. So why is Allah using al-adiyati in relationship to the horse? Because the horse or the swift camels, they go from transition to transition to transition, right? They run through water. They run all night. They run during the day. They are always making the transition that you want them to make. And so Shaitan, he's always making the transition wherever we go, right? He's on our right. He's on our left. He's behind us. He's up here. He's all around trying to pull you and I off the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path. So Ramadan, our whole faith is designed to get us to have strength against deviation, strength against those who have no faith in God, those who want to pull you into disbelief as they are steeped in disbelief. So continuing the surah, I said to you that Allah said that the human being is extremely ungrateful, but He carries it even further, and He says to us, وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. And to that fact, he or she, the humanity, they bear witness by his deeds or by their deeds that they are ungrateful. Allah knows what we do. This is a month of thanks and gratitude and appreciation for Allah having given us a blueprint on how we should live our life. So every day of our lives, we should focus on trying to be more grateful and more appreciative. And we all slip into forgetting about the many favors that Allah has bestowed upon us. But Allah knows we're going to forget, and Allah tells us in the Quran. He asks you and I the question, so which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? So it's a given that He knows, we know, that we're going to forget some of these favors. Some of us forget the fact that we breathe in all this beautiful air and all this finery that Allah has given us, and we don't show the regard that we should for, let's say, even the water. We pollute the water. We pollute the sky, pollute the air, atmosphere, all of these kind of things. Kill one another, all of this, you know. And so Allah is letting you and I know you're going to neglect and disregard some of these favors, but still that's not what He wants us to do. He wants us to be appreciative and regardful of Him and obey Him for our own benefit, not to His benefit. And then Allah goes on, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْقَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And strong is He, talking about the human being, in His love for good. Give me good, Allah. Give me good, Allah. It's very interesting to note that Abdullah Yusuf Ali says, and violent is He in His love of wealth. It doesn't say wealth in this word. Khair means good and useful and beneficial. And it doesn't indicate violent. Shadid means strong, driven, and wanting good. Give me good, Allah. Give me good, Allah. And I'm sure you most of you heard the hadith where it said that a man came to the Prophet and said, what can I do so that Allah will bestow blessings and gifts on me? And the report has it, it says that his clothes was haram, his speech was haram, everything about him was haram, and he asking Allah to bestow good on him, you know? So sometimes people have that kind of mind too. I don't have this, I don't have that. So instead of trying to learn what is needed or get a trade or get something that they can do to make money and feel good about themselves and devote themselves to Allah, they go the other way, but still are violent and strong and wanting good. So Allah is talking about this kind of character flaw that exists in the human beings. And then Allah asks the question, فَلَا يُعْلَمُ إِذَا بُؤْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Does not the human being know when that which is in the grave is scattered abroad? وَحُسِلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. And that which is locked up in the human breast, meaning all of what we had as a record of our deeds in this life, will be made manifest, will be made plain. We will get our books in our right or our left hand, right? Allah tells us this in the Quran. And then the concluding ayah, إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٌ. In that day, they will know that their Lord had been well acquainted with them every day that they lived. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surely Allah, He speaks the truth. And so, this particular surah, I had learned it many years ago, and just in the last, I'd say 3, 4, maybe 5 years, it dawned upon me, this is Surah 100. And Allah is telling you that that horse gives 100%. 100 surah, 100% is the nature of the horse, right? You know from, if you have anything in your mind's eye about electronics and whatnot, and you see engines for lawnmowers and different, you know, devices, they'll put on there 15 horsepower, HP, right? They say 15 horsepower, meaning that if you push that engine beyond that horsepower calibration, it will peter out, it will go out. And so it is with the horse. You can beat him to the point where he will peter out as a result of trying to give his utmost devotion to the rider. So we know that we are not going to be angels here on this earth, but we know that the goal is to get as close to Allah and as obedient to Allah as possible, do all the good that we can do. Perchance we will be denizens or residents of the Jannah when we leave here, when we go 6 feet under. Praise be to Allah. So Allah reveals in the Quran, in the Surah 39, وَلَقَدْ دَرَبْنَا لِلنَّاسِ فِي هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَثَلٍ لَأَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And we have put forth, we have beat into the human being's consciousness. He uses daraba. Daraba means to beat or to strike. It also means to propound something into a person. He said, I've done this all kind of ways in this Quran, trying to appeal to your good side, trying to appeal to the fact that if you don't do good, you go to hellfire. He's trying to get you into a spiritual excitement about all the wonders that he has created. He has tried all methods in this Quran for us. So again, it says, we have put forth for human beings in this Quran every kind of parable in order. Why is he doing it? In order that you may receive the admonition, and also in order that you will think and ponder and weigh it and apply it in your lives. And then he gives more comment about this Quran. He says, Quran in Arabian gaira the irwaja or irajin la allahum yattakun. It is a Quran in Arabic. What does Arabic mean? A lot of times we just say, oh, just the language that the people in Saudi Arabia speak, you know. But if you are a student of this Quran, you should have a dictionary. You should have a concordance of the Quran where you can look up words. So if you look up the word araba, the root of it, it means to be pure. It means to be undefiled. It means to be without admixture. Isn't that the property of the language of Arabic? We know from history that the Arabs were going from waterhole to waterhole in that desert for thousands and thousands of years, and no one came in there to conquer them. Why not? All they had was sand. Sand and a few goats and cows and different stuff like that. So they weren't conquered by anybody, the Arabs. So as a consequence, their language remained pure and intact. So when they began to interact with other nations and whatnot, they have the language structured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe Allah gave this language in a form of revelation to some person or group of persons way back when. So if they allow a word into their language, they got flags on to let you know this is not one of our Arabic words. We will accept it in, but it's not one of our Arabic words. A clear example is Ibrahim. Ibrahim is not an Arabic word, but we know that Ibrahim was one of the fathers of monotheism, the belief in la ilaha illallah and not joining God with God, right? So they said, we had to let him in, but we're going to put some markers on the end of it to let you know that's not one of our words, but we graciously accept that word into our language. Just a lot of words like that in the Arabic language. Praise be to Allah. So Allah is saying he has revealed this as a pure Quran. Quran Arabiyan would suggest a pure proclamation. So if it's pure, that means it's in accord with your nature. It's in accord with all of our natures, just like drinking and sucking the mama's breast when you come out of the womb is in your nature to look for the breast to get some milk when you come out. They even say that there's a line on the pregnant woman's stomach that the child instinctively know, just follow that line, you're going to come up to where the breasts are, you know? I've heard a brother who's a doctor talk about that before. So this Quran is in accord with our natures. It is not the Arab's language. It is the language for the whole of humanity. And Allah has told us repeatedly in the Quran that he has made it easy for us to understand. So what do you need to do? What do I need to do? We need to get with someone that knows the basic structure and the rudiments of this language so that you can understand the grammatical structure. And then after that, go to work in the dictionaries and the lexicons and all of that. And you don't have to be fluent in Arabic to understand this Quran. In fact, most of us know that most of the Arabs who speak on the street, they speak slang, colloquial. They don't speak Arabic fusha. The educated ones do. But the average person on the street, you ask them, well, why does Allah say tabaraka? They say, I don't know, I just mean blessed. But if you are a grammarian, you know that Allah said, tabaraka alladhi nazala furqana ala abdihi. Blessed is he who owns all of the blessings. So the taz, that you know that there's some reciprocity. He gives out these blessings. But he also takes these blessings back. So that's why he puts the ta on the beginning. So the average Arab that speaks the language every day, they couldn't tell you that. Because they don't study the language from the position of a scientist. Just like us in English. If I ask you, well, what is an appositive? What is a gerund? Most of us would know, though we speak English very clearly, and people understand as well, you know? So it's the same thing with the Arab language, too. Arab, actually, Arab. Not Arab, but Arab. Arabian, okay? That's the name that it should be pronounced. Arab. It's an A. Arab. Okay, continuing. See, I don't have much time, so I have to move on. So I want to bring this to your attention. We're talking about the Muslims having an individual victory by us individually putting it upon ourselves that we're going to fast this month of Ramadan, deny ourselves all of the things that are forbidden, as Allah has set forth in the Quran and the life example of his prophet. So these individuals, we should not just remain individuals. We're supposed to come up with what? Collective community life. So in 3 months, we're going to have the Hajj. And the Hajj is a reference to the idea that all of the human beings, whether they be Chinese, Arab, Mexican, Hispanic, you name it, they are from one human family. And we go to Mount Arafat so that we can get to know each other, right? We want to get to know each other. So Islam kills racism for those who really submit their hearts and their souls. There's no room for any racism. But the reality is we know we have it. You see it. I see it. You go to a masjid, and you may be the only African-American to walk in there. You can go there the whole day, And no one says, Assalamu alaikum, you know? It happens. Well, if I'm in a situation where an immigrant comes into, let's say a Pakistani comes into an all-African-American masjid, I'm quick to say, Assalamu alaikum, welcome him. Ahlan wa sahlan, as we say. Easy, like family. Wa mahaban bik. And space is room to you, you know? So the Muslims have to insist on the removal of racism from your spirit and from the spirit of the community. It's very, very crucial and essential. And so many times people will look at you and say you might be a light-skinned person of African descent, but you have, you know, black silky hair, and you might look like a Pakistani or something like that. Then the blacks will reject you because they think you a Pakistani and don't know you're African-American. I know a brother who went to Chicago. He was trying to sell some tapes to some of the African-Americans there. And one of the racist African-Americans told him, why don't you go around your own people and sell your tapes? This happened, you know. So I'm saying to you, I'm flipping it, but I'm inclined to believe, this is my thought, that the African-Americans, for the most part, they're more accepting of other races as opposed to some of the others. And a lot of it has something to do with the caste system in India and all of that, how they got the untouchables, the ones on the lower escalon of the society. They can never marry one on the higher class and these kind of things. So they're used to this departmentalizing people into classes based on lineage, based on money, etc. So the Muslim is to have that stuff removed from his spirit. And as Allah has told us in the Quran, He has created us all from nafsin wahida, one soul, and then after that soul split into two, came the countless men and women, right? So we all brothers and sisters, and you should be living your life every day. You don't need have to go to Hajj to recognize it, to see that we all one family. You could do it right here in Toledo, right here in your environment. So I'm not one to say, oh, African Americans shouldn't marry a Caucasian girl, or a Pakistani shouldn't marry a Chinese. No, you should marry who you want to marry, and nobody should say nothing about it, especially amongst the Muslims, especially, right? Praise be to Allah. So in the Quran, I got to close out here in a few moments. As for those who divide their religion and break up into sects, thou hast no part in them in the least. Their affairs with Allah, He will in the end tell them the truth of all that they did. So you know as well as I know, we have a lot of sects amongst Muslims. You got the Hanafi school, the Maliki school, the Hanbali school, the Ja'fari school, the Wahhabi school, and you got the Shia, right? They had the Shia. So could you imagine, why would they call themselves Shia when Allah is telling us by using the word in the Quran, Shia'an, don't do that. So you're going to separate and have your own, you know, sect, and you're going to name it after something that Allah said don't do. The word is Shia'an. Shia'an in this ayah, 6159, for your information. So I'm saying to you that we should not put labels on each other. We are Muslim. I'm not a Hanbali Muslim or a Maliki Muslim. I am a Muslim. You are a Muslim, one who endeavors to be actively submitting to the will of Allah. اللهم نستعينك ونستغفرك ونؤمن بك ونتوكل عليك ونثني عليك الخير ونشكرك ولا نكفرك. Oh Allah, we ask for your help. We ask for your forgiveness. We believe in you. We trust in you. And we extol and exalt you in the best manner. And we are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not ungrateful. Praise be to Allah. I just want to call your attention to this ayah here. And it's really interesting how Allah gives pictures relating to the animals and different things that He has created. He talks about the ants, He talks about the bees and whatnot, right? So in this particular series of two ayahs, actually, Allah asks you and I the question. He's asking the disbelievers mainly, but He's also asking you and I too, who profess belief. And I just want to give this as a sidebar. Allah never tells you or I in the Quran that He loves the Muslims. He never says He loves the believers. He says, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. Surely Allah, He loves the doers of good. The doers of good. So just because you say you're Muslim, Allah is not telling you that He loves you. If you have faith, you have trust, you have belief, Allah doesn't say that He loves you. But if you are a person who have submission in your spirit, and you have trust and faith in Allah, and you are active in giving zakah and calling people to the faith and all of that, those are the ones that Allah loves. Those are the ones that Allah loves. So he asked the question, so what is the matter with them that they turn away from this reminder, talking about this Quran, like they are affrighted donkeys? Abdullah Yusuf Ali, he puts the word asses in there. The person, oh man, cursing, you know, in the khutbah. But we know that back in the day, ass was not, it wasn't looked at as being a curse word. That's just what they called them, an ass, a donkey. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali said, affrighted asses. And I tried to clean it up and say, affrighted donkeys. Fleeing from a lion. This is Allah asking the question. What is the matter? Like they running from this revelation. And if you're talking about a bunch of donkeys, they squeal when they in fear. They make all kinds of squeal. Ah, you know, real hollering type squeal that's repulsive, you know. Like they running from a lion. You know, a lion, he will take you out. That's for sure. So Allah is giving you the picture. You shouldn't be running away from this Quran. If you say you're a Muslim, you should be a student of the Arabic language so you can understand it for yourself, for your individual self, and not be dependent upon the imam or the leaders or the internet to see what other people say. Listen to what they say, but see what Allah has to say to you directly. That's what I always try to empower people to do. And the reason why I do that is because I know that it can be done. Because I'm a witness to it. I'm an Arabic teacher. Been around a number of cities teaching Arabic. And all I did was take 3 Arabic classes at Wayne County Community College back in 1977-78. And I understand the grammar of the Quran from having had those classes. So I try to have classes here, but most of the people are running away. They don't come. They don't show. There are no shows, you know. So I'm just letting you know that I am an Arabic teacher, and I have a book that I wrote that's explaining the basic fundamentals and rudiments of this language. So don't be like the donkey running away from a lion. I encourage you to be a student of the Quran, and also I encourage you to know that the more and more you and I understand the Quran in the language it was revealed in, the better we'll be able to get the best out of it and increase our taqwa and also increase our material situation as well. And after all is said and done, we go to the Jannah. And this is the whole goal of this life, right? To get out of here, and your scale for good is outweighing your bad scale. And in closing, Allah says to us plainly, He really makes it easy for us. He said, he whose good deeds be found heavier than the bad deeds, fahuwa fi ishaati radiyah. He or she will be in a state of pleasure, right? And he whose bad deeds outweigh the good deeds, fa'ummuhu hawiyah, and his mother will be the bottomless pit. Now notice, Allah said the mother. He used the word which means mother. So in that pit of hell, there'll still be some nurturing agent there to bring you back to the original pure nature that you and I had when we came out of the wounds of our mother in sajda, right? We came out of the wounds of our mother in sajda. Ain't that something? So when you make sajda, you should be thinking about it. I think about it. How good I was when I came out. I know that I have fallen short of that purity, but at least I'm conscious of trying to get back as close to it as I can. So remember that Allah wants us to make it to the Jannah, but He also lets us know that we should have regard for the possibility that we could go to Jahannam. So I hope I said something of value to you and inspire you and encourage you. And I again tell you, Eid Mubarak, that is a recurring happiness. Eid Mubarak. Over and over again, the Muslims get this happiness from having completed the month of Ramadan. Feel like champions. Feel like I accomplished something, and I know Allah is pleased with me, and I'm pleased with myself. So praise be to Allah for Him giving us the understanding that Al-Islam is the way that He has ordained for the whole of the creation. Praise be to Allah. Ikama. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is Imam Sadiq Jihad coming live after having uploaded a rebroadcast of the Khutbah, Eid Khutbah, No Bearer of Burdens Can Bear the Burden of Another. So I'd like to give you this information here that I have written. I was planning on putting it on a blog, but now I want to just share it with you, this audience, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, beloved Muslims. This was on a Facebook page. So the Christian said, "Teach me of this Quran." And the Muslim said, "I can't because you don't speak Arabic." Now, this may be the mind of an Arab in Saudi Arabia or some other locale that made a statement like this. And obviously it's a ridiculous statement because we know that this Arabic Quran has been translated into many languages, although we have to acknowledge that the purity and the richness of the Arabic Quran revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's much more that can be desired from English translations and other translations. So I feel obligated to take the time to chime in on this Facebook thread that mentioned, so the Christians said, "Teach me of this Quran," and the Muslim said, "I can't because you don't speak Arabic." Because of myself reading many English translations after learning the Arabic foundational structure needed to look up all Quranic Arabic words in dictionaries and lexicon, I have seen many inaccurate translations that are damaging to the message of Quran revealed by Allah Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we can teach much of the Quran in English, but existing in the translations are many glaring, misleading, as well as inaccurate English translations of many verses. To believe me or anyone else, the certain proof for you is when you commit to learning the basics of Allah's Quranic Arabic and know for yourself by the power and grace of Allah and the effort that you put in wanting to understand this glorious language of Quran. The Arabic grammar knowledge level, as well as insight into the Arabic Quran and the words selected while translating into English, differs with all translators. First and foremost in translating correctly are our levels of taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is to have a reverence for God where you fear to displease Him and you don't desire to displease Him. You prefer to please Him. So we want you to understand that this language is accessible to the minds of the Muslims and non-Muslims if they would take the opportunity to get with a teacher that could teach them this language. So continuing on, another thing that you and I need to have when studying this Quran is tadabbur. Tadabbur is pondering and reflecting on this book. In reality, many of the translations indicate male chauvinism, Holy Bible influence, feminism, political affiliations, the so-called schools of thought affects English translation and other language translations. And yes, the courage to go against the grain of previous translators are other factors in translating. Many times people don't want to go against the grain of the previous translators. Personally, I find the message of Quran translated into English by Muhammad Asad is the best translation, especially when you begin to read the footnotes. So someone might say, "Who are you to say that?" Well, I'm your brother who endeavors hard to study the glorious Quran. I take you now to the verse in the Quran where it says, Tabarakalladhi nazzal al-furqana ala abdihi liyakuna lil-alamina nadhira. That is, according to the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation, blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his servant that it may be an admonition to all creatures. This is 25:1 of the Quran, the surah entitled Al-Furqan. And I also want you to jot down, if you have an opportunity to do so, the importance of reading footnote number 3052, that is connected with his commentary and translation of this particular ayah. And I read you now the footnote. Tabaraka, verbatim. The root meaning is increase or abundance. Here that aspect of God's dealing with his creatures is emphasized, which shows his abundant goodness to all his creatures in that he sent the revelation of his will, not only in the unlimited book of nature, but in a definite book in human language, which gives clear direction and admonitions to all. The English word blessed hardly conveys the meaning, but I can find no other word without departing far from established usage. Now, mind you, this is the comments of Abdullah Yusuf Ali. To emphasize the meaning, I have explained, I have translated blessed is, but blessed be is also admissible, as it brings out another shade of meaning that we praise and bless his holy name. To a careful eye and mind, there's a lot incorrect with his translation and the footnote 3052. I will leave the careful eye and mind to point out the need for correction in regard to his translation of the verse and his footnote. I tell you now, Abdullah Yusuf Ali did not translate the sixth form verb tabaraka. That is the first word of that particular ayah 25:1. I believe this verb, in fact, I know this verb tabaraka, which starts the verse, is essential to understanding the verse and register Allah's message. Below is a very short excerpt from my publication, The Language of Revelation, Classical Arabic Language Instruction and Exercise with Quran Commentary for Beginners and Non-Beginners, regarding this sixth form of the verb and nouns. In my book, it reads, reciprocity, neutrality, initiator of an act unknown, and it also carries, that is the sixth form verb, the idea of repenting. Pretending in some cases. I give you an example of a verb that might have that does have the idea of pretending, and that is tamawata, coming from the root mawata, which means death. So I put the ta in front and put it in a sixth form pattern. It means that a person or a thing that can move, that's alive, pretended to be dead. So you want to understand that this sixth form carries all of these four meanings, but they don't always apply in every sixth form verb. The sixth form of the Arabic verb and noun is used to express reciprocity and mutuality. Sometimes the initiator of mutual action is unknown. To express this reciprocity and mutuality, there must be at least two subjects or groups interacting, or it is implied. In some instances, the subjects are Allah and human beings engaged in this reciprocity, as shown in the Glorious Quran 25:1 that we are addressing right now. So here's my footnote to the Glorious Quran 25:1. Understanding the meaning of the sixth form verb indicates Allah is telling us his blessings come and go, depending on how we adhere to the Furqan, the criterion, the do and don't list, he sent ala abdihi upon his servant, that it may be a warning to all of the thinking and morally accountable beings and knowledge bases.
it is intended for. From the Quran, we know so far that the book is intended for the jinn and the human family. It certainly is not intended as a warning for all creatures that Allah has created. Here is my humble effort to translate the verse. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. Blessed is he, listen carefully, blessed is he, that is Allah, who owns all of the blessings, gives them out, and takes them back. He revealed the Furqan, that which distinguishes between right and wrong, to his servant, that it may be to all of the worlds of thinking and moral accountable beings an admonition and warning. From the Quran, we know so far, here in 2020, that the book is intended for the jinn and the human family. I say this because Allah reveals in the glorious Quran the following ayah 42:29. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ وَهُوَ عَلَى جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. Translated, my translation, and you will note that it will differ from the Abdullah Yusufali translation. And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and what he has spread out in the both of them, moving creatures. The word is Dabatun. And when he wills, inevitably his power and decree cause their meeting. So here Allah is telling you and I clearly there's going to be a Jumu'ah between those moving creatures that extend beyond this earth. And notice that this particular ayah is in Surah 42, and what is the title of it? Shura, meaning mutual consultation. So I postulate that Allah has given us a sign that we must get ourselves together on this earth so we can be ready to meet the other moving creatures that he has spread it out in the seven heavens above us. So this particular ayah is clearly telling us that there is other life other than us in this universe that has some intellect and some ability to relate to us. So NASA, that is the National Aeronautic Space Administration, whatever they call that, has said that there is life in other parts of this universe, but it's not life as we know it. But we know for sure that there is life, according to what Allah has revealed in this glorious Quran. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly exalted and glorified is he. So it is clear from the verse that Allah is revealing that he has spread out moving creatures in the seven layers of the heavens. Further, he reveals, inevitably, he will cause their meeting. How do we know it will be inevitable? Because of the particle, either. Allah says in the Quran, either, an-nasrullahi wal-fath. That is, when comes the help of Allah and the victory? And the response, the help of Allah is always near. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So we can conclude that this book was not sent to all of the creatures, as Abdullah Yusuf Ali has translated this particular ayah 25:1. The Quran is certainly not intended as a warning for all creatures that Allah has created. It was not intended for the rat, the roach, the rhinoceros, all of these animals to have the ability to understand this glorious Quran. Nor is it something that a mountain can understand. And I say that with my thoughts on Surah 59, verse 21, where Allah says, and had we sent down this Quran on a mountain, you saw it humble itself and break into pieces for fear of his Lord. Such are the parables, Naribu Halin Nas, that we beat into the conscience of the human being. Why? In order that they will be ponderers and thinkers. So I thought on Isaiah, and I did some research. This mountain that Allah is referring to is talking about a hard-headed, stubborn person. So Allah is saying to us, I believe we're Muslims, that had we sent down this Quran on a hard-headed person like Abu Lahab, like Abu Jahl, like Richard Nixon, like Mussolini, like President Trump, you saw that person, could be a female too, humble himself or herself to the message of Quran, if Allah so designates and ordains them to be humbling to this Quran. So this particular ayah should inspire you, should inspire me to know that everyone is a potential revert to their original nature of submission to Allah's will. So we should give this Quran to the doctors, to the policemen, to the wino, to the crackhead, to our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, any human being that has a brain, and that's all of us, we should know that Allah is the one that could cause him or her to accept this way of life. And we know that this way of life is the way of life, that is, submission to God's will is the way of life of all of the creation. The sun is a Muslim, the stars are Muslims, the roach is a Muslim, birds are Muslims. Everything Allah has created was created to submit to his will. And what we know thus far is the only ones that could go against Allah's will is the human family and the jinn. Allah has said in the Quran, as back up to what I'm saying, I have not created the jinn or the men except, or mankind, except that they worship me. Praise be to Allah. So in concluding, I strongly encourage you to secure a copy of the Language of Revelation, Classical Arabic Language Instruction, and Exercises with Quran Commentary for Beginners and Non-Beginners for yourself, copies for others, and apprise others of its availability. Where can you secure it? You can call me direct if you like at 313-532-5246. I'll repeat it again as I conclude. 313-532-5246. You can go to my shopping cart, SadiqJihad.com. You can email me at Sadiq, SIDDEEQ, at MSN.com. So I repeat this again. Sadiq, SIDDEEQ, Jihad, JIHAED, one word, .com. And my email is Sadiq, SIDDEEQ, at MSN.com. And again, the phone number is 313-532-5246. I close with a beautiful ayah, dua, rabbana, atmim lana, nurana, waghfir lana, innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our light for us, forgive us, for surely you have power and control of everything at all times. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu, wa Eid Mubarak. So please let me know if you benefited from these lectures by emailing me or going to my Facebook page, Imam Sadiq, and the other Facebook pages, Ronald Sadiq. And I would encourage you also to, if you have a Gmail account, to sign up on my YouTube station, Imam Sadiq Jihad. I'd appreciate that very much. And also, hit the like button for my page called Arabic Fusha, the Language of Revelation. So again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu, and I add wa jannatuhu, his paradise. When you leave here and go 6 feet under,